Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
Awesome, awesome. How are we doing tonight? Everybody doing good? Everybody excited to be here? I'm excited to be here. Come on, let's give it up for the band. They've done an incredible job tonight. I love taking it back a notch with acoustics sometimes. It really helps you focus on what's important. Am I right? Yeah, cool. Hey, if you missed this morning, I want to encourage you, go check out our YouTube. Pastor Paula brought a phenomenal word on belonging, that we are the family of God, and talking about how we were created for family. We need to belong to one another. And I have the pleasure of continuing on with that thought, because belonging is something that's actually really near and dear to Kate and my heart. So if you don't know us, hi, first of all. Hi, Dan. But we run youth at Church Unlimited, Youth Unlimited. Yeah. And I told him to gas me up. I like, when you're vocal, you preach better. If you've ever been on stage before, you know what's up. Yeah, thanks. That's what we're talking about. And our heart really is for young people because, I mean, I think we can all say we've all gone through stages where belonging has been something that we've been seeking, but we might not have found. And believe it or not, it's actually the number one thing that this current generation that is growing up is seeking over all of the other things that they're facing, over anxiety, over the future, over where they're going, financial security, health, everything. It's belonging that's the number one thing that they struggle with, because they're seeking those meaningful relationships that are going to see them through all of those different seasons of life. People that genuinely love them and that aren't going to just abandon them when they need them most. And I know personally for myself, I've said, you know, most of us will have experienced this, but I know for myself as well, growing up, there has been plenty of times we moved from Western Australia to Queensland when I was going from grade 6 to 7. So you're thinking about going into middle school or high school with the people that you've spent years of your life with, and now you've got to start from scratch. And it's such a daunting experience going into high school, not having any sense of belonging or who do I fit in with? And as we, the people of the church, we have to understand that not only are we meant to belong with one another, we are supposed to be the ones that help others find belonging as well. And it's such a core and central part of Scripture. And there's a passage that I want to go through. Many of you will have heard this before, but I want to focus on it tonight and really unpack it, because I think that this shows us the heart of Jesus for others. And we find it in John 4. Where Jesus is meeting or meets the Samaritan woman. It says that he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to drink water, or to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. And the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And I just want you to pay attention to that, because I'm going to be touching back on that a fair bit throughout this. She said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift of God, the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water and I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Certainly you spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here at this mountain where our ancestors worshipped? And Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to the woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? But the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. And then we jump down to verse 39, where many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. And when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard it for ourselves, and now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. This is a really long piece of scripture, I understand, but I really want to break this down tonight because there are three key things that I've seen that give us an understanding of what it means to be a people of belonging. And if we're to understand what it means to be a people of belonging, we need to recognize what belonging isn't, what it is, and what it brings. So they're the three things that I want to talk about tonight. What it isn't, what it is, and what it brings. So the first thing, belonging isn't convenient. Belonging isn't convenient. See, the woman, when she arrived at the well, she didn't arrive at the best time or in the best condition. Firstly, in verse 6, we see Jesus was resting by the well because he was tired. I don't know about you, but if you've ever gone on a long hike through the desert in the middle of the day, the last thing that you feel like doing when you get to the well is talking to someone. You're going to be pretty worn out, right? Yeah? Secondly, she came with baggage. Firstly, we see that she was actually drawing water in the noontime. Now, if you understand anything about the culture of these people, it's that because of the heat, you would draw water either in the morning or the evening when it was cool. And yet this woman was drawing it in the middle of the day, presumably because the way that she was living had made her a social outcast of the town that she was from. So she was there by herself. She didn't have any belongings. So she came with baggage that was personal, but also cultural. We see in verse 9 that when Jesus speaks to her, she was surprised because Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Again, at this time, and we'll focus on this a little bit, there was a lot of tension between the Samaritans and the Jews, and Jesus was within his right not to have said anything. This is why this woman was so surprised. But she came with the expectation that I'm not going to see anyone because no one's going to be here because I've been cast out. And why is this man talking to me? Because his people hate me. So she was already coming to Jesus with baggage when he wasn't at his best. The thing that you have to understand is that as people that others find belonging in, regardless of the condition that they arrive in, I have to be ready to give them my best when I'm not at my best. When we first took on youth about 2 years or so ago, we just had Willow, which you'd probably seen her running around in a little yellow cardigan out here. And I can promise you that level of energy was the same when she was an infant as to when she was now. So when we first had her, if you've ever had, you know, a first-time parent, brand new baby, not comparing anything, but you understand that sleep deprivation makes it hard to function, right? Let alone to lead. And when we were taking on youth, we had this idea of like, okay, well, we've got team that we're wanting to talk to. We're wanting to care for these young people. There's responsibility that we've got to take care of. And all the while, we're dealing with little sleep and trying to figure out what this stage of our life looks like. And again, it's not necessarily a competition, but I promise you, when you're sleep deprived and you come on a Friday and you have to deal with teenagers that are whinging about their one-week boyfriend that's dumped them or whatever that's happening, you honestly find it kind of hard within your heart to care for their problems and what they're going through. And I realized that to them, that was their whole world. It may have seemed insignificant to me, but this was their whole world in that moment. And God really convicted and challenged my complacency because he said to me, and I remember this clearly, it was, you realize that when you see someone come in and you think to yourself, man, they are the last person that I want to be dealing with tonight. They're probably looking at you thinking, they're my last hope at finding belonging. They're my last chance. You know, we say time and time again, come as you are. But then we have a little in brackets, when it's convenient. And I realized that we'd been focusing on the problem, not the lost person. And I think that as we start to understand that we've all had an encounter, we've all belonged to a family that loves and supports, we can kind of become complacent of that. And we forget that people are coming in where we were once. And we're just thinking about what I've got to do now, my circle of friends, as opposed to the people that are coming in saying, I need God. Like, there is nothing else that I have left. I need him. And I'll be honest, like, if I'm injecting myself into this story, from my perspective, this was not the best time for Jesus. This wasn't when he was delivering his Sermon on the Mount or feeding the 5,000 or when he just walked on water. This was when he was tired, sitting beside a well in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the day. It wasn't the best time for Jesus, but her salvation depended on it being his best. And if this is something that I struggle with, if you're here tonight, this is something that I struggle with, you have to ask yourself, do I need to maybe adjust my attitude and look to him as the example? We read in Philippians 2 where Paul is writing about the attitude of Christ, and it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of the equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. That's huge. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus put aside everything to pay the ultimate price that you and I might sit here tonight as one, having found belonging. And I need to actually ask myself, what must I sacrifice in order for others who come through that door to find the same? If he's willing to do this, to give up his divine privilege, to die as a criminal, then the least I could do is put on a smile, put aside my tiredness, maybe have an extra shot of coffee, give you a pep, but come ready for people who aren't in their best, who've come with baggage when you're not at your best, ready to give them your best. The second thing is that belonging is intentional. Jesus actually gives us a guide here as to intentionality around belonging. So you want to pay attention to this. So firstly, it says, sorry, I just got to flip back to it. In verse 4, it says that he had to go through Samaria on the way. So if you look at the map of Israel, you'll see that Judea, where he was at, is at the bottom, and Galilee, where he was going, was at the top. Samaria, right in the middle. But because of the tension at the time, most people would actually just go around it. So it says here that he had to go through Samaria. Well, he didn't. Most people would avoid Samaria, but he had to. A lot of people actually think that this was a spiritual prompting for him to go into this area. Why? Because he needed to make himself available if this woman was to find salvation. Secondly, he actually spoke to her. Again, we see in verse 7 that as she arrived, he said, please give me a drink of water. Again, he was within his right to not say anything. He could have just sat there, waited for his disciples to come back. But he chose in that moment to actually speak to her and to initiate a conversation when she felt like she wasn't deserving of one. And then thirdly, we read in verse 16 to 24, it was what he said to her. How he challenged her understanding. He challenged her on the way that she was living. And then he challenged what she thought about worship and God, the Messiah. Everything that Jesus did was intentional. And it was exactly what she needed in that moment to find the belonging that she'd been seeking. See, when we come to youth on a Friday, we have to understand that every single teenager is different. They're all seeking or have a different need when it comes to belonging. You've got introverts, extroverts, everywhere in between. All of them have something different. And when you understand that, you have to understand that belonging isn't a one-size-fits-all situation. You have to be willing to look at the person and go, okay, what do you actually need? What can I help? You don't just need me to say, hey, how are you, and then walk off. No, you might need something specific. So for us to minister to young people and for each of you here to minister to people who walk through that door, it's being aware of what they may come with. But here's the thing. Sometimes it doesn't actually work out. We read this in Mark 10, where Jesus is talking to the rich man. And the rich man asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him that you're supposed to obey the commandments. He said, these are all things that I've done. Teacher, the man replied, I obeyed all these commandments since I was young. And looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now, compare this to Jesus and Zacchaeus. Now, if you've read this before, you'll understand that this actually happens within a really short space of time from one another. And it says that Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he'd become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give away half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Similar stories, very different outcomes. Here's the thing. If I was in this situation and I'd said to this first man, the rich man, hey, give everything that you've got and follow after me, and he didn't, I'd be the first to admit, I'd probably be a bit disheartened, right? We can pour our lives into people. We can give them everything, and they still won't follow. They still won't change the way that they're living. We can be intentional, and it won't make a difference. But we can't let that harden our hearts, because not even a chapter later, Jesus encounters Zacchaeus, and the whole situation is different. Similar circumstance, different outcome. And if Jesus had allowed himself to become bitter and hardened, which we can do. We have the tendency to go, man, that didn't work. I'm not going to try that again. And yet it was the exact thing that Zacchaeus needed in order to find belonging. So not only do we need to be intentional with what we're doing, we need to put aside the doubt, put aside the fear. If it doesn't work out, we can question ourselves and go, man, what's wrong with me? Like, did I do something? And we can start being so down on ourselves when the thing is some people it just doesn't work with. And we have to be okay with that, but we must remain intentional. And looking at Jesus' example, this means that we need to make ourselves available. We can't just walk in, sit down, and then 5 minutes before the service has ended, we're out the door. We're not called to just top ourselves up and off we go. No, we're meant to help other people find that breakthrough that we found ourselves. Sometimes we need to, instead of sitting in the corner of the cafe, be right there at the front, join the host team, welcome team, say hello to people as they come in, make yourself available. Then actually speaking to people. I know this can be tough for some people, but it's saying hello that sometimes can be the one thing that changes a person's whole day, right? It's a smile. And then thinking about what you're actually going to say, because here's the truth. Some people are going to come in just needing peace of mind. They've been going through a whole lot. They don't need to be taught at, but you have to be aware of what they need, because others are going to come in needing to be taught, or they're going to need prayer, teaching, challenging, whatever it is. We have to actually be aware of what they need when they come in through those doors and be intentional with how we connect with them and get a thick skin about it, because at the end of the day, not everybody's going to like what you have to say, but that's okay. Because God has asked us to just continue going and seeing people get found, find their belonging, and get connected with Him in this place. And the last thing is that belonging brings transformation. See, in one moment of belonging, two major transformations take place. The first actually happens within the woman herself. As she finds belonging with Jesus, as she speaks with Him and she starts to understand who He is, you see the way that she addresses Him changes. In verse 9, it says that, she refers to Him as a Jew. But then in verse 11, 15, and 19, she refers to Him as Sir. Then in 29, Messiah, or possibly Messiah. And then at the end, the entire town says Savior of the world. That as she understood who He was, as she realized what He meant and what He was speaking to her, her idea of Him changed. Now, we can understand that pretty well, because secondly, the transformation actually happened to the community that she was in. Remember, this was a woman that was collecting water in the middle of the day. No one wanted anything to do with her, and yet she was the one that dropped everything that she was doing. It says in verse 28 that she dropped her jar and ran because of what she had was so good, she had to share it. And we read in verse 39 that many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." And now we believe, not because of what you've told us, but because we've heard Him ourselves, that He stayed there for an extra 2 days and they saw Him as the Savior of the world. The woman that no one wanted anything to do with, had a radical transformation moment with Jesus. And she took that and ran back to her community, and her community was changed. This is the only thing that you'll read of what Jesus did in Samaria. This was the only thing. And I think that the whole bypass that He avoided to go right there was for this moment, because He wanted to see this community changed. Now, as a guy, I like throwing rocks in bodies of water. I know, bit of a left turn. If you're a guy out there, you might understand what I'm talking about. When you throw a rock in a still body of water, there's satisfaction that comes from it. Am I right? Yeah. But then the higher you get, the more satisfaction you get when you throw the rock in the water, right? I remember a few years ago, we were hiking on the Sunshine Coast and we found quite a sizable boulder. And being guys, we decided, you know what? Instead of getting to our campsite, let's spend the next 3 hours trying to like unlatch this and push it down the hill. Because when it hits that body of water in the ravine, it's going to be amazing. And that's what we did. It took so long. So much time and energy was wasted on this stupid boulder. But when it went down into the ravine and the huge explosion, we were like, yeah, that was cool. And then off we went, right? The higher you get, the more you can see the scale of the impact. Why is this more satisfying than being on the ground? Because when you're on the ground and you throw a rock in the water, okay, you see a little bit, but you don't see how far it reaches out, right? And it's the same for us as believers. We see the one moment where someone says, yeah, I make a decision for Jesus. My life is being transformed. And we say, yeah, I'm championing that person. I'm going to believe for that person. But we don't realize the impact that that person has on the community that they come from. That it might be they might be the only person that can impact the community that they've come from. As people find belonging with Jesus, their understanding of him changes, and that personal transformation impacts the entire community. And we read in Matthew 5 where it says that you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The people that come into this place, we can sometimes forget the light that they are to the community that they're in. It's such a motivating thing when you realize the difference one person can make. And when you take a hold of the transformation that belonging to Jesus brings, you just can't help but want to do it more. You can't. The idea of being available is just second nature because you want to be there. You want to see people brought into the house and see them set free of the things that they're holding on to. Ultimately, and if I could have the band back, please. Belonging isn't convenient. There are going to be moments when you're tired, when you'd rather be somewhere else, when you'd rather not be talking to that person. And yet, I need to be ready to give them my best when I'm not at it. Because in that moment, it may be that transformation that will turn everything around. That one conversation that you have. Secondly, belonging is intentional. Jesus was so just on the dot with everything that the woman needed. Of course he was. And we need to be more like that. We can't just have this one-size-fits-all attitude for people that come through the door. We can't just give them a handshake, pat them on the back, see you inside, and that's it. No. There needs to be more intentionality with how we connect. What do they need? Where are they going? How can I help them? And the last thing is that belonging brings transformation. That one moment of belonging changed everything. That her life was impacted. People could see that her life was impacted. They saw how on fire she was for this Jesus who she'd had one conversation with. They'd put out of their mind all of the things that they thought about her and thought, you know what? If this man has done such a radical transformation in this woman's life in one conversation, I need to know what's happening. And they went out to her and it changed their whole community. Let it motivate you that as you help people come into this house, find belonging. For those of you who serve on the kids team, the youth team, the young adults team, or just on a Sunday as well, every team that we serve on, we have a responsibility for people who are coming in with baggage to help them be free of it, to come before the altar and to find just that belonging that they've been seeking, that they've been so craving and desiring. And I pray that as we go tonight, that this will be a word that sits on our heart. It's been something that's been rattling around in my head for a while now, and it's such an important thing that we, as the believers, we're not just here for a fun service on a Sunday. We're here for so much more. And that as our lives have been changed, we have such a responsibility, but also a joy to see other people set free. Why don't we stand tonight? In a moment, as the team leads us in worship, we're going to open the altar. And if you're in this place and you know, you've been struggling with that idea of belonging, if there's been hurt in the past that you've dealt with, and it's something that has been holding you back from giving yourself to another community, we want to pray for you. Or maybe you're in this place, you say, you know what, I've done a really not a great job of being the person that others can help be brought into belonging with. And I need to actually let go of some of that that fear that's holding me back from speaking to people, or I need to be more intentional with how I connect with people. If that's you as well, we'd love to pray for you. But before we do, with every head bowed across this place, I just want to ask one simple question. If you're in this place and you've never actually found belonging with Jesus before, and you're saying, you know what, I want to leave this place changed, knowing that I am now part of a community that loves, cares, and wants to see me grow. If that's you and you're in this place and you're wanting to make a decision for Jesus tonight, why don't you just stick up your hand so our team can see you? Because we'd love to pray for you. I know every single person, yep, thank you, I see your hand. Every single person in this place has had a moment or an encounter with Jesus that has radically transformed their life. And we're believing and praying that you'll have that too. Awesome. Just one more moment. Cool. Well, for that one person and for everybody else in the room who wanted to put up their hand but didn't, I'm going to pray a simple prayer and you just repeat it after me. And it's just acknowledging that I am making that decision, that I want to follow after Jesus, that He is the Lord and Savior of my life. So Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love me. I thank You that You proved it when You sent Your Son to die in my place. Jesus, as I follow after You, I thank You for the belonging that You give me, the security that You give me, and that every day walking with You is better than any day that I've had in the past. In Your mighty name, amen. Father, we just thank You for every person who made that choice, made that decision here tonight. We pray that as they go from this place, that there will be a fresh sense of hope, love, everything that makes a family, that community that binds us together as one, Father. I pray that as they go from this place, that there will be a greater understanding of who You've called them to be, and that they in turn will be able to help others find their place in this house. So Father, I thank You for tonight, and I pray Your hand of blessing over them in Your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on. If you're in this place and you are wanting prayer, as the team leads us in worship, I just want to invite you to come to the front because we would love to pray for you. I know that, as I said, belonging is such a critical part of everything that we do as people, as we, as believers, we're so passionate about seeing people find that belonging. So if that is you and you need prayer tonight, I encourage you, come to the front because we'd love to connect with you.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.